Please find again the passages that I read a moment ago, referring to Psalms 55, 57, and 102. And today, I have a message for you entitled The Pelican Problem. Now, I intend to return to the book of Acts on Sunday evenings in September. Right now, I'm doing a special series of messages on our summer Sunday evenings. And so we will come back to the book of Acts in due time on Sunday evening. But I thought it might be good for you to have a bit of a break from the book of Acts. Now, I can't tell you for sure who wrote Psalm 102. Many people think that David did. I can tell you that Psalm 55 is attributed to David. And I can tell you that Psalm 57 is also attributed to David. But whoever wrote Psalm 102 certainly had something in common with David when David wrote Psalm 55 and Psalm 57. And that is that he had trouble. David certainly felt that he was in trouble when he wrote Psalms 55 and 57. And this man in Psalm 102 certainly felt that he had trouble. And his trouble was such that we find him saying there in those verses that I read a moment ago, I wonder if you noticed how he put it, I'm like a pelican of the wilderness, like an owl of the desert, and he says, like a sparrow alone on the housetop. I wonder if you have ever felt like a pelican in the wilderness. You understand what he's suggesting there? Where would we expect to find a pelican anyway? Well, we expect to find a pelican near water. And what this man is saying is that I'm a pelican, like a pelican, but I'm not near water. I'm out of my element. I'm away from my natural element, my natural habitat. He talks about being a pelican out here in the wilderness. And pelicans are also noted for moaning softly, making these soft moaning sounds. Well, I wonder if you find yourself crushed with such burdens today that you can relate to what this man was saying. I wonder if you can say, yes, I can certainly identify with this. Been a lot of times when I have felt like a pelican. I didn't realize I was feeling like a pelican, but now that you put it this way, Pastor, I have to say, yes, I have felt like a pelican. I felt like many times that I was out of my natural element, and I've found myself going through life sometimes just kind of groaning and moaning. You know, Christians do know what it is to have burdens, don't we? Now, we sometimes feel guilty about having our burdens. We read the Bible and we find that we're supposed to be joyful, and we know that if we're burdened down overly much, that it takes a toll on us, that we can't really serve the Lord as effectively as we should, and we know that we can't really make an impression on unbelievers for good if we go around burdened and bent down. But the sad fact is that this is a characteristic of the Christian life oftentimes. We do find ourselves burdened, beaten down, and that may be where you are this morning. There are all kinds of burdens that Christians can bear. And we can feel like a beast that is loaded down with a weight that is too heavy for him to carry. Or we can feel like a ship that is loaded down with cargo to the point that it's almost ready to sink. I am sure that all of you know what it is to be burdened in some form or fashion. And it may very well be that right here this morning in our congregation, there are several who are burdened. And it may be that you find yourself saying, yes, I'm like that pelican. I just don't feel like I'm myself. I don't feel like that I'm where I ought to be in life. And I find myself just kind of groaning and moaning as I go along. Well, I have some advice for you today. It's not just simply my advice. It's right here in the Word of God. You'll accept it from the Word of God, won't you? And here's what I have to say to you. If you feel like a pelican today, if you feel like you're out of your element, if you feel like you're just burdened down excessively, there are some burdens that Christians ought to bear, but there are some burdens Christians ought not to bear. Well, here's my word of counsel to you from the Word of God today. When you feel like a pelican, don't try to be a dove, but learn to act like a chicken. That's the advice that I have for you from the Word of God. That's my counsel to you. When you feel like a pelican, don't try to be like a dove, but learn to act like a chicken. Now, that's going to require some explanation, isn't it? And I, as you might suppose, am prepared to give you the explanation. Now, go back with me to Psalm 55 for just a moment, and let's notice again what David says there in those verses that we read a while ago. And by the way, we find that David here in this particular psalm is very troubled, and we don't have to wonder about what's causing him his distress. You look at verses 2 through 4, and you find him talking about how he is oppressed by the enemy. And I think it's safe to say that even though David doesn't mention the pelican here in Psalm 55, that he was probably feeling very much like the man who wrote Psalm 102. He was probably feeling very much like a pelican. And this was the reason. He had all of these enemies who hated him. They wanted his destruction. They wanted to take his life. And you look there at verse 6, and this was David's first reaction whenever he faced this problem. He said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest." This, by the way, is something that all of us can readily identify with, how very often when problems come our way, we respond by saying something like this, "Oh, I just wish I could get away from it all." And that's what David is saying here in these verses. He says, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, and could just fly away." We associate the dove with peace and quiet. And David was yearning for peace and quiet here. As he faced the problems that made him feel like a pelican, he wished that he could be like a dove. He wished he could just escape from it all. And that may be how you're feeling today. If you've come in here with a burdened heart, if you're sitting here feeling beaten down, if the pressures and burdens of life have just about gotten too much for you, you may say, "Yes, I certainly can relate to what David's saying here. I wish that I could just fly away like a dove and be at rest. I wish I could get away from all of these things that are troubling me." Well, that was David's first reaction. But as we look in Psalm 57, we find David again facing problems. And by the way, isn't it refreshing as we read the Word of God to find that even the greatest saints of God had their troubles? There are some today who are eager to tell you that if you just walk close enough to God, you'll never have any problems, you'll never have any trials, you'll never have any difficulties. Well, I think that as you look into the Word of God, you find that that kind of teaching is just not there, is it? Sometimes the fact of the matter is, the closer you live to God, the more problems you have. Well, here's David. He's certainly a man of God. You will grant me that, won't you? And yet here he is in Psalm 55, we just noticed, talking about the oppression of the enemy. And now he's writing Psalm 57, and he, even though he doesn't mention the pelican, he probably was feeling very much like the pelican. Because he says there in verse 4, Psalm 57, "My soul is among lions." He says, "I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows. Their tongue is a sharp arrow." And so David is once again dealing with people who were opposed to him, dealing with people who were hating him, dealing with people who were desiring his destruction. But this time, David does not say what we find him saying over there in Psalm 55. We do not find him saying here that he wishes that he could be like the dove to simply fly away. No, he says something quite different here. Look at verse 1. Psalm 57, verse 1. "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you." And look at this. And in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. And then he says in verse 2, I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. Now there's a difference here. David's still talking about wings in Psalm 57, just as he was in Psalm 55. But whereas in Psalm 55 he's talking about the wings of the dove. Oh, I wish I could just get away from it all. I wish I could just fly away and be at peace. Now in Psalm 57 he's talking about another kind of wings. Did you notice it there in verse 1? In the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge. Now, I don't know what comes to your mind whenever you hear those words read. In the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge. But I can tell you what I think of whenever I read those words or when I hear those words. I was born and reared on a farm near Mulberry Grove, Illinois. And that's just a kind of a wide spot in the road. Just a small little burg, and my dad and mom had a small 75-acre farm just 7 miles north of Mulberry Grove. And so I was brought up on the farm. And we had all kinds of animals on the farm. We had cows and we had hogs and we had chickens. And in fact, my dad decided one time that the way to riches was to go into the chicken business in a big way. And so he went out and he bought hundreds of chickens. And it fell to me and my brother to take care of the chickens that my dad brought up because my dad also had at that time a job in a neighboring town. And so he bought the chickens and he went off to work and he left it to me and my brother to tend the chickens. And we had to feed the chickens and we had to gather the eggs and we had to make sure the chickens were watered. And our favorite was, of course, making sure that we cleaned out the chicken coop from time to time, the chicken house. And I wonder now if Dad went into this business because he was convinced that was the way to make money, or if he went into it because he was convinced that was the way to mature his sons into responsible adults. I rather think that it may have been the latter. And so I want you to know that in addition to being schooled in theology, I've also been schooled in chickenology. And I have an advanced degree in it. Some of you, the only thing you know about a chicken is what you see on the dinner table. But I was much involved in the rearing of chickens for many years. By the way, have I ever told you how mysterious chickens can be? I always thought this was most peculiar. This doesn't really relate to my sermon, but I just want to show you that I have this advanced degree in chickenology. When my brother and I were involved in the rearing of chickens, we noticed that these chickens would just be getting along splendidly well, and then suddenly one chicken would look over at his fellow chicken, and without warning, he'd just peck that chicken. Peck him maybe on the head or on the wing. And he might peck him so hard that he would even draw the blood. Have any of you ever been around chickens enough to take note of that? And my dad told us. He said, now boys, if you ever see that a chicken is bleeding, you've got to get that chicken, catch him, and you've got to put him over here in a coop off to himself. And you've got to feed and water him, because if you leave him out there with all the other chickens, they'll just continue to peck at him and peck at him and peck at him until finally they kill him. And sure enough, with all the chickens we had, we would occasionally miss one that had been wounded. And a few days later, we'd find a dead chicken, a chicken that had been killed by his fellow chickens. I always thought that was the most peculiar thing I'd ever seen till I started pastoring a Baptist church. And then, guess what? I found that Baptists can be a lot like chickens sometimes. And Paul said over there in the book of Galatians to his readers, he said, if you don't stop biting each other, you're going to devour each other. And how many churches have been devoured? How many ministries have been devoured and ruined by people just picking at each other, biting each other? Well, like I said, that doesn't really have anything to do with my sermon, but I think it does have a point. But another thing I noticed that about the rearing of chickens is that when a mother hen had little chickens and there was some danger, she would begin to cluck. Have you ever seen this? And she would spread those wings, and all those little chickens, they'd run under mama's wings, and they'd hide there until mom sensed that the danger was past. I saw that happen frequently as I was coming up on the farm. And I suggest to you that David is talking about that very thing here in Psalm 57 and verse 1. He says, in the shadow of your wings. Whose wings? Well, God's wings. Because look at what he says there at the very beginning of verse 1. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. And now I wonder if the principle that I gave you at the outset is beginning to make sense to you. You remember what I said to you? When you feel like a pelican, don't try to act like a dove, but learn to act like a chicken. And here's the point. When the sorrows and the burdens and the troubles of life are pressing upon you, don't try to just fly away like the dove, but learn rather to take refuge in your Father. Learn to take refuge under His wings. When you feel like a pelican, don't try to be a dove, but act like a chicken. Take refuge in God. Get under His sheltering wings. That, I suggest to you, is what we need to do when the trials of life mount up all around us. And so what I'm saying to you is essentially this. That when David's problems began to press in upon him, even to the point that he wasn't sure that he was going to be able to go on. Have you ever felt that way? The problems of life pressing in upon you to the point that you feel like your strength is almost gone and you're not able to carry on. Well, David, when he felt so oppressed and so burdened, realized that he did not need escaping wings. He needed rather to take refuge in sheltering wings. Escaping wings. Those were the wings of the dove. That's what he first thought. Oh, if I only had escaping wings, if I could only escape, if I could only escape. You may be sitting here today saying that very thing. If only I could escape. I'm telling you, brother in Christ, sister in Christ, you have something better when the trials of life mount up all around you than escaping wings. You have sheltering wings. You have sheltering wings. And what you need to do when the burdens of life mount up around you is take advantage of those sheltering wings. Do what David says here in Psalm 57. Say to God, in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. But may I simply remind you that it was the mother hen who would cluck, and the little chicks would run under her wings. And if we're going to be like the little chicks, we have to listen for the clucking of the mother hen. And when we hear the clucking of the mother hen, we have to obey. We have to act on the basis of that. Well, God is presented to us in so many different ways in the Bible. He's such a wonderful and glorious God that Not one single image or one single picture of God can ever do justice to him. And here he's portrayed as this mother hen. And as the mother hen who spreads her wings to shelter her little ones. Well, just as the mother hen clucks, so God clucks. I hope you don't think I'm insulting God whenever I tell you that God clucks for his children. If you're troubled today, I wonder if you hear God clucking. You may say, well, where can I hear the clucking of God? Well, I'm so glad you asked, because I want to tell you that you find the clucking of God right here in the Word of God. And whenever God clucks, you need to take shelter in him. What does that mean? God clucking. Well, I suggest to you that when the mother hen clucks, it's to warn her little ones of danger, and it's to assure them that she will protect them from the danger. And as you open this Word of God and begin to read, you will find God warning you of various dangers. And you will find him also assuring you that he can protect you and he will protect you in the face of those dangers. Let's be brutally honest with ourselves this morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. The reason so many of us are burdened is because we haven't really been paying attention to God's warnings, the warnings that God gives us in his Word about things that we should stay away from. And now we've gone off into those things, and now we feel oppressed and we feel burdened, and we do so because we haven't been paying attention to the clucking of God, God warning about danger. But God not only warns us about danger, he assures us that he's sufficient for us in the hour of danger. You don't have a need today for which God is not sufficient. Did you hear that? You don't have a need today for which God is not sufficient. Back a few months ago, I wrote in our newsletter an article about a vacation that Sylvia and I took some years ago. We fulfilled a lifelong dream. A few years back, went out to the Northeast, spent a few days traveling around Vermont and New Hampshire and just taking in the sight of the beautiful foliage up there. And I mentioned in that article how we stopped in a little town named Arlington, Vermont, and that we went there to see the Norman Rockwell Museum. And I know that some of you think your pastor is strange, and I know what I'm about to say is going to confirm that for you, because we pulled there in that little town, and there's a little church. And there beside the little church was a cemetery with a stone wall around it. And so I said to Sylvia, let's go walk around the cemetery. By the way, she's known for a long time that I'm kind of strange. And so we spent some time walking around the cemetery, and it was one, this is really going to sound odd, it was one of the happiest times of my life. Because as I walked around that cemetery, I could see there, I saw tombstones, some of which were 300 years old. But it wasn't, the thing that brought blessing to my heart was what, the words that were inscribed on those tombstones. And one of them said this: earth has no sorrow for which heaven has no comfort. Earth has no sorrow for which heaven has no comfort. In other words, heaven has comfort for every sorrow that earth has to offer. And where do you find the comfort? You find it in the clucking of God. And where do you find the clucking of God? In God's Word. And so if you today are burdened and oppressed, go to the Word of God. And there you will find God assuring you, God comforting you. You remember Paul, who said that he had a thorn in the flesh, and he asked God three times to remove that thorn, and God finally said to him, Paul, don't talk to me about this anymore. The thorn stays. I gave it to you. I gave it to you for a purpose, and I'm not going to remove it. But he said this: my grace is sufficient for you, For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Do you hear God clucking there? He's saying to you today, brother in Christ, sister in Christ, no matter what you're up against, He's saying to you today, my grace is sufficient for you. No matter what you're up against, I'm sufficient for you. But you must, like the little chick, run to the mother hen and take refuge under her wings. And that's another way of saying you've got to take refuge in God. Now you may be saying, well, Pastor, how do I take refuge in God? Well, look again at Psalm 57 and verse 2. You see David saying, I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. Well, here he's talking about crying out to God. What is this? This is prayer. So thankful for the songs we heard a while ago about prayer. And here is how, brother in Christ, sister in Christ, you get under the sheltering wings of God. You pray. You pray. You come to God with the burden. Don't you love the great old hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus? All our sins and grace to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. And there's relief for you. There's shelter for you in God. But you've got to avail yourself of that shelter. And to avail yourself of that shelter, you have to pray. I sometimes wonder if any of us knows anything about prayer. We tend to associate prayer with just saying a few words. I'll tell you, I think that David did more than that. He says there in verse 2, I will cry out. I'll cry out. There's an intensity there. This crying out, that has sweat on the brow and it's got grime on the hands. This is work. We need to quit saying prayers and we need to start praying, don't we? We need to start laying hold of God. We need to get deadly earnest about God and say with Jacob of old, I will not let you go until you bless me. There needs to be in our churches today a laying hold of God that refuses to give up, a laying hold of God that persists, a laying hold of God that endures. Well, I want to just say something else here in closing. And that is, as you think about these little chicks taking refuge under the mother's wings, they stay there until the danger is past. And if you want to deal with your burden today, you not only have to run to God in prayer, but you need to stay with God. I want to share with you the words of another hymn. And I think I'm coming here in dealing with this thing to what so many of us fail to do. We fail to make God our stay. Do you remember these words? Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised, perfect peace and rest. So here it is. When David felt like a pelican, his first impression was, I want to escape. I want to fly away. But then he thought better of it. And he said, no, let me hide under the Father's wings. And that's my word to you today. When you feel like a pelican, don't try to be a dove, but act like a chicken. And God's people said,